participants. Last night, courtesy of our friends down the 417, TSN 690. There's, three of the five San Jose goals last night in a 5-0 whitewash of the Habs at the Bell Center. And Montreal is 0-4 to start the year, the only team in the NHL without a point. They've only scored 3 goals in 4 games. Their power play is 0-13. 5,000 empty seats, at least, at the Bell Center. Anything else we want to pile on? Is that good?
Still got the championship banner from last year. We're going to the finals.
That's right. Eastern Conference. The Canadian Division champions. All right. Our next guest may have a thing or two to say about that. He hosts the midday show on the Montreal Forum on TSN 690. Joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, we say hello to Tony Marinaro. How are you doing this morning, Tony?
Good morning.
Okay. Anything you want to get off your chest before your show starts in an hour?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I saw this one coming from a mile away, and I just don't understand how people that work for this organization or others didn't see it coming. I saw this one coming from a mile away. We'll talk about a bunch of things this morning. At the end of the day, it's a very, very simple equation. You ready? Last year's team proved to be a better playoff team than they were a regular season team. Based on their regular season, they shouldn't have made the playoffs, but they did. In the playoffs, it all came together because the kind of defense that they have, the goaltending, the system, you get away with a lot more in the playoffs, yada, 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 all that stuff. They're more built for the playoffs. But to get to the playoffs, you have to win in the regular season. So now we have a new regular season. What did the Canadians do? And part of it is not their fault because they were in a bad situation. Let's take a look at everything. Carey Price won't be there for at least a month. Personally, I think he's going to be out for longer, but I hope he comes back. We'll see. But he's out for at least a month. Jake Allen is going to take over for him. Jake Allen was the backup last year, and so now Jake Allen takes over for Carey Price. Downgrade. Jake Allen was your backup last year. Now it's Montembeau. Downgrade. Eric Staal and Corey Perry are gone. You replace them by Perreault and Paquette. Downgrade. Shea Weber's gone. He's replaced by David Savard. Downgrade. Joel Edmondson's out with an injury, and Romanov has to step up to play with Petrie. Downgrade. The Canadians lose Philip Deneau, but acquire Christian Dvorak. Downgrade. And I know that some people won't agree with me, but that's okay. Downgrade. So a team that struggled last year in the regular season, in a very average division, is playing in a better division this year and got worse. Not to mention that when Marc Bergevin was asked about, you know, the team and Carey Price and all that stuff, when Price took the leave of absence to join the player assistance program, he said during his press conference, he asked Dominique Ducharme about the boys in the locker room, and Ducharme told him that everyone was shaken up. You watch this team play, they look like they know what's going on, that they are inferior to the team that they were a year ago, and that without Price and without Weber, they're toast. And if you watch them play, and you know, people are going to tell me, one of my buddies told me the other day, yeah, but they're professional athletes and they want to win. Of course they want to win, but they're not stupid. You don't think they don't send each other text messages saying, look at the team we have and look at the guys that are out, we're screwed? Of course they do.
We'll call you back next week, Tony. I don't have anything else to add. Tony, to the point as well, again, and this is a problem, and I said this when Ottawa went on a bit of a run, is this not exactly that the way, and I'll say that for Ottawa 2017, when it's put together, you mentioned the luck, but it is really just over the 10 years of Marc Bergevin, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You got some young, you got some middle, you got some old, you got some done. There's no clear direction to this hockey club whatsoever.
Okay, so they had some good years, and he did do some very good trades, and he did do some good work, for sure. It's not because he's on his way out that I'm going to tell you that he didn't. He did do some good work. The challenge is, and this is why I have been screaming on the top of my lungs, and last year I had to stop in the finals because I look stupid, but I can start again now, and I'll look smart again. The reason why I've been screaming for a complete rebuild, like Ottawa's doing, is that a rebuild is sustainable. You know that you're going to be able to get 5, 6, 7 good years as long as you're able to keep your young players and you get them locked up and stuff like that. A rebuild is sustainable. Young players come in, they're on entry-level contracts for 3 years, then maybe they go to a bridge contract or you lock them up long-term, the way the Senators did with Tkachuk and the way the Canadiens did with Suzuki. The challenge with the Canadiens is they've had some good years, but they pretty much went for it when they traded Subban for Weber, and then they went all in last year in the Stanley Cup Final, and they didn't win. And then Danault left, and then Staal left, and then Perry left, and then Weber emptied the tank in the playoffs, and Price was drained after that, and everyone gave what they gave. And so what they've done here has not been sustainable. That's the problem. And that's why every year it looks like they got to change direction. Oh, this year we're going to patch. The next year we're going to trade this core player. The year after we're going to reset. Then we're going to go for it. Then we're going to go all in. Like, it's just, it's not sustainable. That's the problem.
Yeah, Tony, it's been done in Toronto. It's now being done here in Ottawa, and some people say they'll never accept it. Highly intelligent hockey fans, I would assume, and would you agree, that the Montreal market would completely embrace what Ottawa went through at this point?
Well, this has been something the Canadiens have not wanted to embrace, I would say, as an ownership team, all right? So when Marc Bergevin was hired in 2012, I would have loved to have been part of that interview process, but based on my understanding, and Blair McAsee was interviewed back then, and Pierre Maguire was interviewed, I think they had a chat with Patrick Roy, and of course Marc Bergevin, and the list goes on, they were asked what their plan would be with this team to turn it around in the short term and sustain it in the long term. All right? And a rebuild was not on the table. Based on my understanding, it was like out of the question. It's like this team has to get better. Why? I don't know. Everyone's got different theories. A lot of people seem to think the owner or one of the owners owns a beer company, and people like to drink beer, and they love their hockey team, and they want a hockey team that wins games, and if the hockey team isn't winning games, it could actually affect beer sales. Now, I don't know if that's true or
Wouldn't
not.
Wouldn't you drink more beer right now?
I'm drinking a lot of everything right now and eating a lot of everything. But anyway, like I just, for whatever reason, it's like, oh, no, a rebuild's out of the question because, you know, we're going to be bad for 4 or 5 years. But you haven't won a cup since 1993. Like, at the end of the day, what do you play for? Like, what do you play for? Like, when it's prom night, you either go out with the prom queen or you stay home. Like, what is this? You don't get, so they got a banner for going to the final. You play for the cup. The goal has to be the Stanley Cup. And if your best way of getting to the Stanley Cup and winning the Stanley Cup is a rebuild, then that's what you should do. And by the way, if you don't win the cup and you've gone through a rebuild, there's something else that happens when you rebuild, is that every now and then there's a bad draft. And every now and then you're going to make a bad pick. And in the Canadiens' case, the 2 years under Bergevin's tenure that they were terrible, they drafted by need and not the best player available. And they lost out both times with Galchenyuk and with Kotkaniemi. But if you rebuild and you're drafting in the top 6 or 7, 4, 5, 6 years in a row, chances are you're going to end up getting some pretty good players out of that draft. But if you're only drafting in the top 3 or 4 twice in a 7-year span or 8-year span, and you just happen to draft by position both times and you mess up, you're stuck after. And another point is, if you rebuild and you're drafting in the top 6 or 7, chances are you're going to end up getting some pretty exciting players. At least you're going to have an entertaining product. This is, I don't even want to say it, they're our partner, and God knows I love them. But have you seen the entertainment, or what is supposed to be entertainment, in the 4 games that they've played? It's not good.
Tony Marinaro. Yeah, Tony Marinaro from TSN 690 is our guest. So there's all this talk, Tony. Mark Bergevin is in the final year of his contract. First of all, a couple things. Was there, in fact, a contract offer made to him in the summer? There's rumors. There have been, some people say it happened. Some people say it didn't happen. What do you know of that? And how troublesome do you believe it is to have the general manager hockey team in the final year of his contract?
Unfortunately, I don't have the answer to this. I know that it's been reported by some that he was given an offer, and it's been reported by others that he wasn't. I don't know. I've never been able to find out. This whole thing just seems very, very fishy to me. And it's not like that Marc Bergevin cannot be relieved of his duties, because the job that he has done is not unanimous, okay? It's, you can question whether or not they should bring him back. I get all that. But at his worst times, early on in his tenure, when they would miss the playoffs a couple of years in a row, when they would have some terrible hockey teams, when they would screw up on some drafts, when they would miss the playoffs 3 times in 4 years, when they would trade their captain or trade a fan favorite or whatever else they went through that was not good, Jeff Molson stuck with Marc Bergevin. In the last 3.5 years, after it took Marc Bergevin 5 or 6 years of growing pains in Montreal and learning what it is to be a GM in Montreal, because it's a different animal. In the last 3.5 years that Marc Bergevin got better at his job and won most of his trades and is coming off a Stanley Cup final appearance, whether you think it's luck or not, they got there. Now you want to separate yourself from him and now you want to move on? It leads me to believe that this is not hockey. And for those who say that there was a negotiation contract and they're apart and stuff like that, maybe. But you know the next GM of the Montreal Canadiens is going to speak French. It's just like that here. That's the way it is. So you've already narrowed down the possible pool of candidates. How many guys are going to be, how many guys have the experience that Marc Bergevin has? You would think that the best guy for the job is probably Bergevin himself. And so what am I getting at? It's just, it seems to me that there's something we don't know here that I'm not even sure is hockey. Because if somebody tells me, oh, no, they're apart on the term or they're apart on the dollars, how many guys are out there that speak French? How many GM candidates are out there that speak French? There's not many. So they're apart on the year. So Bergevin wants 5 and Molson wants 3 and Bergevin wants 5 million and Molson wants to give him 3 million? So settle in between. That's what happens with players. That's what happens in negotiations. Why wouldn't it happen here? Guys, it doesn't make sense to me. Now, once again, you can make the argument that 10 years, he's had his chance, and take a look at the way things are going now, and you don't think he's the guy to fix this situation? I get it. But something doesn't make sense to me. And you see Bergevin, you see him at the press conferences. He just doesn't look happy. He doesn't want to talk about his contract. They said they won't anymore. They said there will be no contract negotiations. I get the feeling he still wants to be the general manager of this team. Whether that's true or not, I cannot tell you that for fact. But, when a player knows that a team doesn't want him anymore, his heart's not in, it's not in it anymore. And, I'm not going to question Marc Bergevin's professionalism or his professional pride. But, if his heart wouldn't be in it, it'd be really tough. You can't really blame the guy either, right? So what am I getting at? If I'm Jeff Molson and I've made the determination today, the 20th of October or whatever it is, that Marc Bergevin is not going to be my guy, then start the transition already. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
Tony, I would ask, because I kind of thought, okay, he's walking out the door next year, rumors of L.A. To your point, I would say that this basically looks at, hey, they're negotiating, and Marc Bergevin said, well, I'll show you. I'll make the Dvorak trade. I'll sign Suzuki. I'll bet on myself. And now where are you at if you're Marc Bergevin? You should feel down, because honestly, the 10 years of work and for where that hockey club is at right now is not a general manager that I would want continue on the job.
All right, I'm going to say something here. And I've, you know, a lot of people won't be happy with it, but I'm going to say it anyway. They wanted Carey Price to get picked up in the expansion draft. And some people don't believe that. And I have people telling me, oh, Carey did this for the team and this and that and all that stuff. And people that believe this are either incredibly naive or incredibly stupid, all right? A player, if he's really happy where he's at, and a team, if they're really happy with the player and the contract and the term, are not going to risk exposing him in an expansion draft, even if there's a 1% chance of him getting picked up, just so that you won't lose your backup goaltender, of which you can find another 5 or 6 of those on the market. Do we agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't want to bring, you know, I shouldn't have brought this up because Price going through a real hard time right now, and I'm very sensitive to that. But the contract is an albatross. Everyone knows it. He's 34 years old. He's had his share of injuries. And the biggest problem the Canadians have in their lineup is that every centerman they have is playing one spot above where they should be. And $10.5 million buys you a number one centerman or gives you the flexibility to go out and pay one. And that is going to be a big problem going forward. There's going to be $10.5 million tied in to a goaltender. And if the goaltender wasn't picked up for free by an expansion team, it'll be pretty hard to part ways with that contract in the future, unless you pick up a really big one in return, obviously.
Tony, how do you see the team playing out as is? I mean, they're not going to be 0-82. And then I guess, hey, do you wonder how this is going to play out? Because if you go into a rebuild mode, that's something that probably has to be done before the trade deadline.
I don't know how they're going to play it out. I think they're just going to try and stabilize things. I think they're going to try and get back to basics. I think they're going to try and play a very defensive game and try and insulate everyone. And ultimately, they're going to end up falling short. What would I do? I would, and they're not going to do what I do, but the goal is to win the cup. They're not going to win the cup. You have a draft in Montreal. You haven't had a number one centerman for the longest time. There's no guarantee that you'll get the number one pick overall. But if you're going to be bad and miss the playoffs, you might as well be terrible and give yourself the best shot of drafting with a top pick.
Hey, Tony.
Now, the players are going to go out. They're going to give everything they have. But there are things that you as a general manager and things that you as a coach can do with a lineup to, you know, if they trade some of their better players or some of their older players or some of, if they make trades that affect the depth of this hockey team, they'll probably lose a little bit more often, right? Listen, some call it a loser mentality. I'm trying to find some kind of strategy in this.
Good stuff. Sounds like maybe you've got a couple of topics for today for your show at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it'll be exactly what I just said here.
Appreciate the time.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there's Tony Marinaro from TSN 690 joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. There you go, folks. This is what happens when your hockey team is 0-4. Four losses in an 82-game season.
Yeah.
Listen, Tony lives and breathes it, absolutely wears it on his heart. And, it is an interesting discussion. As he said, he's been talking about that. And we lived it here in Ottawa 4 years ago, right? A magical playoff run and then a doubling down the next season to make a big trade, in this case for Matt Duchene. And we saw, not that it was all on Matt Duchene, but the following season. And then the decision to undergo a complete and rebuild. And it's been, you know, 3 years of terrible hockey. Last year was at least some hope. This year, continued hope. It's a long, long process if you are going
to
do it.
And, JR, to that, if you looked at this different and took a step back in your Montreal, do you make the Dvorak trade? Well, you don't, right? I mean, hey, you're not replacing. That's exactly what Ottawa did. Well, I'm a good team. I'm going to try to take a run at a Stanley Cup. That's what Montreal did instead of holding on to it after the offer sheet.
Yeah, you, what Tony is advocating for, their actions since well, last year, but obviously since last season ended, since they went down in the finals, their actions say in no way whatsoever they're considering a rebuild four games into a new season.
And David Savard is a sixth defenseman on a Stanley Cup team. You brought him in to replace Shea Weber. And also to that, Jer, and when I was in Toronto, same thing. After the lockout, we said, hey, listen, payroll's going from 72 to 39. Can we go into rebuild? They said, absolutely not. That's the part in that term I always use. The hockey people, I'm not saying every hockey guy's a genius, but generally, if you laid out a plan of bottoming out and rebuilding, there's a lot of people that could accomplish it, but you got to ask the person next door, are they interested in doing that? And for whatever reason in Montreal, they've resisted that, where I would think they would totally embrace it. Now, following through with 18-year-olds and not rushing them and not having too much hype is a different thing, but man, it happened in Toronto, it's happened in Ottawa, it happened in Pittsburgh, happened in LA, happened in Washington. I would think the Montreal hockey fan would totally embrace it at this point.
Thoughts on what Tony had to say? Always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200, phone lines at 750-1200. After 10 o'clock this morning, we are going to send you down to Canadian Tire Center. Sends her back on the practice ice. Steve Lloyd, Steve Bunda, and Kenny Walls will take you through the 4 hours of In the Box. Lots more Sens talk as they get set for their next game against the Red Hot. San Jose Sharks certainly took care of business versus Montreal last night. They'll join you after 10 o'clock. We'll have tickets to that game to give away before 10 o'clock, so stand by for that. Right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 9:38 here on this Wednesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you, as mentioned, Steve Lloyd and Steve Bunder down at Canadian Tire Center. Sens are back on the practice ice today. We'll see if Matt Murray feels even better than he did yesterday. Looks like he's going to be tracking toward playing in the game tomorrow night against the San Jose Sharks. And, if we project ahead, Simmer, if Matt Murray is, let's say, average tomorrow night.
Ooh.
You rolling right back with him against the Rangers on Saturday, or do you go to Forsberg? I'm guessing if Murray is good, that Gustafson goes back to Belleville.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any doubt about that. What do you do? Like Forsberg was excellent in the opening game and then decent in the second game.
If Murray's average in a win, absolutely go to him Saturday. If he's not great in a loss, boy, it ends up bringing up a healthy debate. Now, my personal belief, I go right to Forsberg. I don't have much patience, much time in this, and so that would be mine, JR. I'm just not going to be, well, let's give him another game against the Rangers. Hey, you come in. I know he's been off for a while, but he's had plenty of practice time. And I just want a guy, man. I want this guy telling me. I want the net. I'm so excited to get in there tomorrow night, to get the season going, to help out the boys. I want to feel some of that hungry vibe that I have not necessarily watched or felt from Mr. Murray.
I heard Troy Mann on with his weekly visit with Lloydie and Bundy yesterday, the head coach, of course, of the Belleville Senators. And Lloydie asked him at one point about Erik Brännström, who, of course, was a late cut of the Sens, has gone down. He's played a couple of games in for Belleville last weekend. And Troy Mann said his, because you've seen it. Guys have had a taste in the NHL, especially high picks, right? Mm-hmm. You get sent down, and this is now, his fourth professional season. You're back to the minors again. You know, some guys can have a not great attitude, and some guys are just going to attack it from the day they're down there. And then I'll show you attitude. Troy Mann says at least, and Troy Mann is a straight shooter. He said he did sit down and talk to him, but he said his attitude has been excellent so far.
And if I'm representing Brännström right now, JR, I'm going to say, listen, you had a good enough training camp where, in my opinion, you should be there. I'd have him ahead of Delzato. I'd have a different mix, and I probably would have started him with Holden to give it a look. But, hey, you're not there. You can factor in some contracts, some other things. You can also say, hey, maybe it's at a point. I think we would all agree. I don't think it's just contractual. I don't think necessarily the coaching staff, and it's no blame.
Well, it's contractual only because he's the only guy that can be sent down that doesn't have to go through waivers.
For sure, but in a sense of, I also don't believe that they were exactly trying to find a spot for him. I don't think they believe in him, and I think in their case, whether it's Mete, whether it's Delzato, now they may arrive at a point where they change their mind, but when you finish last year strong, playing with Zub, you roll into training camp, I thought played well, as I said, enough that he'd be in my top six, and he's not. all I would say representing the players, listen, it's probably not going to work out for you in Ottawa, or it may, but hey, if you go down and play so well, it's not like the group in front. We said this with Logan Brown. You know, you're not behind Brian Trotsche, Mark Messier, and a bunch of guys,
it's not
right?
The 70s Habs
well,
defense.
Yeah, like, let's be serious here. What you're facing. So go down and play great, or at the same time, everybody now that they can get out is going to be rushing around as professional scouts and watching guys. And anybody that Ottawa engages in trade talk, and I don't like to speculate on names, but it's already been thrown out there, you're going to go into Belleville and say, hey, what's this guy all about? Well, if he's lighting it up and he's off the charts good and he's playing great, well, it's only going to help you. So there would be absolutely nothing. And it's hard, Jay. I've had 1,000 of the talks and it sucks. Nobody, almost nobody wants to play in the American Hockey League. It sounds crazy, but you don't, right? I mean, that's not what brands from. So you go down, you show you're better than the league and it's going to help everybody involved.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see if Ottawa, if the Ottawa Senators go into, a tailspin is not a great word, but let's say the defense starts to play like we maybe think that they should be on the top two. It's certainly a work in progress. If suddenly the goals start to leak in, if the defense becomes a bigger concern, as I think a lot of people had going into the season, that defense was a concern. Does he earn a recall, or are their minds made up philosophically? Is DJ Smith essentially not a fan of Eric Brandstrom to the point of, listen, he's just not the type of player I want playing on my defense. I don't care if some of the guys I have right now aren't good enough. They're not going to be the guys that are here, whenever we reach that point where we're challenging for a playoff spot. And even then, I don't think that Eric Brandstrom is good enough to play on my defense. At this point, I think he has to be thinking that.
Oh, for sure. And again, I don't like to play the blame game, but in the case of Logan Brown, listen, he had nobody to blame. And I don't want to even say himself. He got injured, JR. There was never a time where he got sent down. Go back. We reference Pageau all the time. Good enough to be on the team. What does a character guy like that do? Go shows, I'll show you. And not even show you. I'm just a naturally self-starter competitive guy. For a guy like Brandstrom, the other part that'll change pretty quickly is you get reps and get games. I don't think JBD would be next on the roster, but in the case of Lassie Thompson, if I'm looking for a right shot and want to switch things around for the way he played in training camp, that would be the next, kind of fire over whatever. That would be your next kind of thing. Wow, all of a sudden, not only are they calling up a defenseman, they don't call up him.
Yeah.
That's the next phase that's going to end up coming here.
Well, I bring this up only because Elliot Friedman has his 32 Thoughts column. I believe it always comes out on Tuesdays. Anyway, there was a reference to Eric Brandstrom yesterday in one of the pieces, and that certainly got everybody talking of, and Elliot, without saying it, made it seem like that Ottawa would listen at this point on a trade for Eric Brandstrom. It may be a case right now where is his value essentially some other team's high pick who is off to a disappointing start in the eyes of his own organization?
You know what, JR? I have no idea. I can only say what I look at. And a great reference point. I don't even know if he's far ahead. Somebody said this reminds me of Rundblad 2.0. Well, I don't know how people necessarily felt, but they were able to get Kyle Turris for him. I don't know what the hockey world feels like, but I feel like that's a great comparable. I don't see this guy as an everyday NHL player. I'm nervous about his size, lack of defensive feet. As to what the hockey world and the quick one would be linking Claude Giroux, whatever, I don't have an answer for you, JR, but also pretending, and this is also, and again, people will go and watch him. You can use the card of, you know what, man, we love Brandstrom. We think he's awesome, meaning the manager. We haven't role-played yet. You could play Smitty at some point, kind of go, hey, JR, what do you think?
Hang on, I grab some water here. On arceps, biceps, hard.
But you
we got to be triceps, biceps, arceps, hard.
And then I'm going to go, yeah, for sure.
But my point is you could play the old, and even better is, listen, a couple of things going on here. Smitty doesn't like him. Yeah, I like him a lot, and the kid would like a fresh start. The teams will look at that, and they'll say, I'm kind of going through your depth chart here and kind of looking at your defense.
Why isn't he playing for your team?
I don't see a lot. Well, that's a problem, right? I mean,
can you explain that away contractually? It's like, look, right now we're still in a rebuild. He's the one guy that doesn't need waivers right now. He's not necessarily, he's maybe a little bit better than what we've got.
Yeah.
But we want him to play tons. Yeah. Like, you could probably spin it however you want, right? Down in Belleville, power play, 40 minutes a night, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, you can try for sure, Jaron. Hey, it's not like, again, lots of teams look at guys differently. I mean, what was his value? Forever, Craig Button has had him as Ottawa's top prospect. Lots of people have said it's still a good trade. I sent the early warnings when he first arrived here, and people were kind of in between. I don't know. It's really hard, JR, but the issue would end up being, okay, Ottawa, and this would be the best thing. Ottawa keeps playing well. We like our defense. There's no room for him. Like I say, you can play some of those things. Now people go in and evaluate him. A positive for Ottawa is that you could watch him in the American League and see him as a very dominant player, JR, and maybe think, wow, we need somebody, and I'm not saying Montreal will make a trade, but boy, we need somebody to run our power play. Or you think, you know, hey, there's misevaluations all the time. I'm just saying for my perception, seeing it very closely, and the way I would evaluate it as an outsider, I wouldn't put a lot of value in the player. That's just my own opinion.
Right. I don't know anything about the guy whose name I'm about to bring up. I only going down the road of, in this case, disgruntled or unhappy, big name prospect from another organization who right now is sitting at home asking and has asked for a trade, and that's Kravtsov of the Rangers. Now, he's a forward, not a defenseman. I don't know how New York feels about, you know, it's a defensive core going forward. Obviously, Adam Fox is the Norris Trophy winner. They brought this Lundqvist from Sweden, who everybody says is an excellent young defenseman. So I don't know whether they want to add to that. But I just wonder if we're looking at, hey, we've got a prospect that maybe isn't working out. Maybe he'd be better in your organization. You got a guy that's maybe not working out for you. We could maybe use a forward. Maybe you could use a defenseman. I just wonder if there's potentially a match there.
Yeah, and you know, so much of it, Jerry, you're talking about Kravtsov, 2018, is a ninth pick overall. What does Mr. Mann have to say about him, right? I mean, this would be a guy that if you watch in the KHL, didn't play much in North America. Hey, what's your evaluation? I've mentioned the Frost kid from Philadelphia a bunch of times. You know, but honestly, JR, it's virtually impossible for us to try to have any idea what the scouting reports or what the value is on outside players. And we speculated for a long time in Logan Brown. Now we realistically kind of look at what's been brought back along with giving up a fourth round pick. And that didn't turn out to be a whole lot of value, at least early on.
Yeah, yeah. So interesting to see how this will play itself out. Yeah. I'll ask you this. Do you think that Erik Brännström is still a member of the Sens organization a year from now?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, do you think he survives even this full season?
No. Again, you are, and I'm not pretending Jake Sanderson's rolling to save the day, but he's rolling to save the day. By then, JBD, Thompson, I think Thompson might be the next call-up anyway, if you give this another month. Then as you started to turn the page, and I've said all the way along, I just don't see where the fit is. He's not really a third-pairing defenseman, and I really, like I said, the person, shout-out on Twitter, that mentioned the Rundblad situation where, you know, he came in. I just think that there's too much to overcome for the defensive feet and the size, JR, that I could see him being a great player in Europe. I could see him getting some work in the NHL, but I just don't think there's enough there.
We had Trent Mann, the Sens chief scout, on at one point, and I'm pretty sure we asked him because his first year being in charge of the draft for the Sens was 2017, which was the Erik Brännström draft, correct?
What draft was Logan Brown?
He's 2016.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was
the last
one with Bob Lowe's. Bob Lowe's left in the middle of the night. Trent Mann was appointed chief scout. Yeah. His first draft with the Sens is 2017, which would have been the Brännström draft. Yeah. And again, Vegas had three picks. Brännström, I believe, was the second of the three. Regardless, I think we asked Trent Mann about his kind of what he thought of Erik Brännström at the time of the draft. And I'm trying to remember what his scouting report was.
Well, the one that resonates with me that we asked him, and I don't know if it was the same year, I remember asking about Josh Norris, and he was pretty honest on thinking, to be quite honest with you, just like everybody else in the hockey world, thought he'd be a real good top-nine forward. I hope I'm accurate in saying that.
I don't want to misquote right on him,
but that was the same thing that Craig Button said when the trade was first made, and hey, that's been a surprise for everybody, so I'm not putting blame, but yeah, a lot of it would go back to that, JR, on any of these players, and also, let's be honest, I mean, you know, if there's a person you're trusting in the organization right now, it would be that. And also from an Ottawa perspective, I still think that there's so much good that's gone on now that in a normal circumstance, I'd be protective of the Stone and Brännström. And he's going to be a pillar of the rebuild. I still think at the end of the day that if you made the deal now or pretty soon here in Ottawa, I think people would just say, hey, it didn't end up working out. Where there's other times where your team's in the toilet, you got no direction, you're like, there's no way I'm going to let this guy go ever. You know what I mean? I've said that he's great. He's going to be a great player. You know, I think for right where Ottawa's right now, it'll hurt. But like I said, it you know, to me, whatever's going to happen with him going forward, I don't see his value is going to go up real high, much higher, any lower.
I guess if you did decide to move him along, but boy, oh boy, you traded an all-star in Mark Stone, and to, again, a guy who had a signed contract with Vegas. Like, there was a contract agreement in place, and, you know, right now we'll see what Sokolov, that was the pick they got in return. We'll see if Sokolov kind of rescues the trade for Ottawa, but if you trade up trading off Brännström at this point and getting something that's also a maybe, like he is at this point, that, I mean, you're right. It's not as disastrous as it could have been, given all the good other good young players. But if you think about it, if you get anything reasonable in return for Mark Stone, like you should have, and the Matt Duchene trade, you know, in which 2 months later they change course and go for a complete rebuild after trading what ends up being the fourth pick in the draft and Bowen Byram. Think about if those things don't happen, where you're at right
well,
now.
Well, and again, because there is so much positive, JR, but I mentioned...
Yeah, you get away with it.
No, but it's where it's biting you right now. I mean, this is where, when you're talking about a defense and you go out and sign Delzato, Holden's been a nice... Hey, if Eric Brännström, whoever he is, change his name, grow him another 5 inches, if he's playing as a fourth defenseman right now... Well, you're looking at the trade completely different. That's stabilized. That's going to be a problem for them. I mean, they've gotten past it so far, but the lack of depth on the defense, playing Delzato, playing Zaitsev, playing through that, you know, that's the part of that's going to be the Achilles heel unless the goaltenders keep standing on their head.
Right, and that's why, you know, maybe this rebuild doesn't go quite as quickly as it could have. If you think if you got a better return on that, as you said, if whatever they get for Brännström, if it's a defenseman, if Brännström ends up being a player capable, he should be in your established top four defenseman.
Oh, yeah. And
4 years
said,
into his professional career.
And the positive,
career.
JR, all the great trades. But if, honestly, from the Dzingel trade is now turned into a goaltender you have questions on, between Duchene, Stone, and correct me if I'm wrong, and even moving Zibanejad, there's not a single asset in your lineup at that point. There will be. But you did not hit on any of those pros that came back in that trade. And that's right now where the lack of depth is hurting them.
All right, 9:53. We got a pair of tickets to go see the Sens and the Sharks coming up tomorrow night. We got a very simple question for you, and we're going to do it by text. The first correct text we get in, it's a numerical answer you'll be sending us. So we just need the answer and your first and last name. That's it. All right, so here's the question. I want you to add up the uniform numbers of all of the captains of the Ottawa Senators in the 2000s, add their uniform numbers from their time in Ottawa, the number they were known for when they were captain. All right? Add those numbers together. Give us a grand total, your first and last name. Then text us at 12-1200, standard messaging rate supply. First person who gets the right grand total is going tomorrow night in 100 level seats to see the Sens and the Sharks on us. All right? Good luck on that. We'll come back with our winner. And wrap up the show before we send things down to CTC. And Steve and Steve coming up after 10 on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
AJ Jakubek, Gordon Smith will be on the call tonight from TD Place. Second to last home game of the season for Atletico. Should be a beautiful night. You want to check out a soccer game. A beautiful day, great night tonight. We'll have the call 7 o'clock following Offside here on TSN 1200 with the disgruntled head fan, Eric Macromella. All right, so listen, pile of people through. Some people with really strange numbers. I'm not sure how they got to where they got to. The correct answer we're looking for those Sens tickets is 95. 95 is the number that you needed. Most of the guesses were 95, so it's the total number, the uniforms numbers, total of the uniform numbers of the captains of the Ottawa Senators in the 2000s. So it's Daniel Alfredsson, 11. Jason Spezza, 19. Eric Karlsson, 65. Your total is 95.
Did Jason Spezza ever switch his number, JR?
Well, that's why I said when he was the captain. Okay. That's why I put
that. What did he wear before that?
39, I believe, when he first came. But 19 when he was captain. Anyway, all that to say, congratulations to Maris Dervisevic. Yes, sir! Nice. Nailed it. A lot of syllables there. A lot of vowels, too. Maris, congratulations. You're off to go see... the Sens, Brady Tkachuk season debut against Eric Karlsson and the Sharks tomorrow night. Should be a great game. We got 100 level seats for you, Maris. Enjoy the game. There's another pair to the game coming up this afternoon on the drive. We'll have a pair tomorrow morning for the Sens and Rangers coming up on Saturday afternoon. So-